Bill Barnwell, NFL free agency officially starts at 4 p.m. today. And I'm wondering, how do you celebrate this? Should Ryan Seacrest be involved showing us pictures of how the people in Japan already celebrated the start of the league year over there? What should we be doing?
Is Aaron Rodgers a Jet in Japan yet? Because if he is, I would love to know. I'll be honest with you, Sam. I'll be totally transparent here. Every night, I have stayed up late thinking, okay, today is the day Aaron Rodgers is going to get traded. And every night, I'm up till about 2 a.m. And at 2 a.m., I say, I don't care anymore. If he gets traded, I'll deal with it in the morning.
So we'll get to Rodgers for sure, but let's talk big picture for a second. I mean, it feels like about 10 minutes ago that Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs were celebrating their Super Bowl win on the field in Arizona, and yet now already we're on the verge of a new league year, and you are here, as always, to tell us exactly what we're seeing. So, Bill, what are we seeing so far?
It's been strange. It's been, I would say, it's surprisingly reasonable in terms of the contracts that have been handed out. At ESPN in years past, I've gone and given grades to hundreds of contracts over the course of a typical free agent period. And when you see that many contracts pop up, you see teams make the same mistakes so often that you could fit them into groups. But, Sam, now we're in day two of free agency as we record this. And it feels like teams are getting smarter. There were only really a handful of egregious mistakes or, at the very least, very aggressive decisions from teams who were desperate.
No, Bill, I just want to go back on two things that you mentioned. The first is, right, so if the league year has officially beginning today, but obviously so much has been going on already, what is the deal with this legal tampering thing? What does that even mean?
It is a beautiful paradox, Sam, because tampering, by definition, I think across all genres of tampering, is illegal.
It's bad. It's bad.
It's generally bad. But the NFL wants to pretend that somehow teams are actually signing players to deals and confirming trades and all that good stuff on the first day of the new league year. They also want to give teams time to negotiate, which is why they tacked on this appendage that doesn't make sense to anybody. They should really just make this part of the new league year, but this is where we are.
So, Bill, the other thing I'm wondering is, we see these deals, we see these contract terms being thrown around. A guy signed a deal for 3 years and $100 million, but it turns out he's actually only around for 1 year and $15 million. Like, what's going on here with these flexible contracts?
The short answer is that the numbers are fake, essentially, which is something that should be resolved, but we're not at that point yet as a football society. So, of course, if we're talking about other sports, Sam, contracts are simple and easy to understand. If you're looking at a baseball contract, a basketball contract, or a hockey contract, those deals are fully guaranteed at the time of signing. NFL deals, the opposite is true. Outside of the top rookie contracts from first-round picks, or Deshaun Watson's contract with the Browns, which we'll get to later, NFL deals are not fully guaranteed. Most day one and day two deals, they may include 2 years of actually guaranteed money. Superstars or players with huge markets, they may even get 3 years of fully guaranteed salaries and bonuses. But we always hear reports of 3, 4, 5, 6 year deals that have partially or entirely non-guaranteed money included as well. That's because in the NFL, agents typically give contract details to reporters with the maximum possible value,
yeah,
including all incentives and all that unguaranteed money at the end of the contract.
So if guaranteed doesn't mean guaranteed, Bill, what does it mean?
It depends. There's different kinds of guarantees, which makes it sound like some of those guarantees are not actually guarantees. Players might have a significant amount of their deal guaranteed for injury, but not for skill, which means that a team could choose to cut a player and not owe him that money unless he's too injured to play. They might have guarantees that only trigger if that player stays on the roster past a given date, as was the case for Derek Carr on his most recent deal with the Raiders. This stuff almost never comes up in the initial news about the deal, but comes out in the days after once we actually get the terms of the contract and get a closer look. let's take Derek Carr. Let's take his four-year, $150 million deal with the Saints, which is the biggest contract of the offseason so far. It's really a two-year deal covering 2023 and 2024 for a fully guaranteed number of $60 million. Now, Carr will most likely get $10 million more unless he's not on the roster in 2024, which is extremely likely given that the Saints have already committed $30 million to him that year. That brings us to a total of $70 million for 2 years. If the Saints get to the offseason 2 years from now and they don't think Carr's their guy, they can cut him without owing any more money to their quarterback. In any other sport, we would call that a two-year deal for $70 million with two team options. In football, somehow, it's a four-year deal. That's how it's evolved. I would like to think it's going to change, but it's only getting worse.
If there's one thing that we can guarantee, it's that there's no such thing as an offseason in the NFL. It feels like we just watched Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs tear victoriously off the field in Arizona, and already we're on to the free agent period. One that promises to be as chaotic as it is eventful, thanks in no small part to Lamar Jackson, trades at the very top of the NFL draft, and of course, Aaron Rodgers. So today, Bill Barnwell joins the show to help us understand what these moves mean, how the deals are coming together, and what else to look for as we ring in the start of another NFL season. I'm Sam Borden, in for Pablo Torre. It's Wednesday, March 15th, and this is ESPN Daily.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home some huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
All right, Bill, let's start with the quarterbacks, and I'm going to invoke a phrase that British soccer announcers use all the time, particularly, you know, as towards the end of the season, the last day of the season, as the standings are unfolding, and they will say, as it stands.
I thought you were going to say it's squeaky bum time.
That would apply too, but as it stands, Aaron Rodgers is a member of the Green Bay Packers. Obviously, so much chatter about the possibility of him going from Green Bay to the Jets. What's happening? And honestly, why hasn't it happened already?
You can make a comparison to soccer announcers. I'll make a comparison to a bad action movie. It feels like the plot of a bad action movie at this point. Because there's three pieces that all need to be in place for the Rodgers trade to happen. And right now, our heroes, the people who are going to make this trade and end this national obsession, it's unclear whether any of those teams or players or pieces are actually aligned to make a deal work. So let's start with the first one. That's addressing Rodgers' contract. Rodgers is currently owed nearly $109 million over the next two seasons. And that's actually guaranteed.
We're talking real guaranteed.
Real money. Real money that Rodgers will have in his bank account if he wants to play this year. Starting with a $58.3 million bonus. That's due at some point before the 2023 season. Now, even by quarterback standards, that is a lot of money. The Jets probably want to restructure that deal, or more likely, they want the Packers to pay some of it to help facilitate a move. But Green Bay is in dire cap shape. And they surely want the Jets to trade for Rodgers and eat all of that cash. The two sides have to agree there. Next, they have to agree on trade compensation. It's reasonable to think the Packers would probably want at least a first-round pick for their future Hall of Fame quarterback who's been in the organization for 2 decades now.
Seems reasonable.
It does seem reasonable to me as well. But when you think about it, Sam, there's not really much of a market for Rodgers outside of the Jets, given not only what I just mentioned about the cash, but how close Rodgers is to the end of his career. Teams like the Raiders and the Seahawks, who might have made sense, are out of the running after they signed other players to play quarterback. The Commanders could be in play, but Daniel Snyder is reportedly in the process of selling the team. And I don't know Daniel Snyder personally, but I feel very confident that he's not going to want to pay Aaron Rodgers $58 million in a bonus to help a franchise he's not going to own when Aaron Rodgers actually suits up this upcoming fall. Then the most important factor, and the factor that we have the least amount of insight on here as we hit Tuesday in free agency. We don't know if Rodgers actually wants to play football in 2023. He doesn't have a no-trade clause, so the Packers can trade him anywhere, but the threat of retiring gives him the leverage to essentially approve a deal before it's made. And the initial reports several months ago were that Rodgers would figure this out well in advance of free agency. And he had no intention of holding the Packers hostage. Well, he's gone on a darkness retreat. 2 months have passed. And reporting from our Diana Rossini here at ESPN has suggested that Rodgers has literally sent a list of players he wants to be on the Jets to New York. That kind of sounds like a demand, which you might make in a hostage crisis. So all of this could be reconciled in a matter of minutes if all parties are motivated and on the phone. But I think everyone sort of figured this would be done before free agency began. And we're now here in day two, and it has not been resolved.
All right, Bill. So while Aaron Rodgers continues his hostage situation with the Jets and the Packers, obviously there is another big name, another big quarterback who's in the sort of free agent display window. That's Lamar Jackson, 26 years old, former MVP, the face of the Baltimore Ravens. And he is clearly unhappy with how his situation has been going so far. And honestly, Bill, it sounds like we sort of need to get the dictionary back out maybe in terms of the word guaranteed. What can you tell us about what's going on with Lamar Jackson?
Yeah, so Lamar Jackson went on Twitter yesterday and decided to clarify some facts. Our Adam Schefter reported Lamar Jackson had been offered a 5-year deal with more than $200 million in guarantees. But the keyword there is not fully guaranteed. Lamar Jackson, who was representing himself in this negotiation, went on Twitter and said, actually, it was a 3-year deal with $133 million fully guaranteed. Now, both parties can be correct here. It sounds like Jackson was offered a 5-year deal with more than $200 million in guarantees, but those were not full guarantees. There might have been some guarantees for injury or guarantees that confirmed later in the deal. Lamar Jackson was offered a 5-year contract, but across the first 3 years of that deal, he was offered $133 million fully guaranteed, which, according to reports about what Jackson wants in these negotiations, was not enough.
So, Bill, where do we go from here? What has led us to this point, and where does the conclusion ultimately lie?
I think the Ravens would love to find out where the conclusion to that lies, given where they stand right now. Let's quickly go back to why we're here in the first place. A couple weeks ago, the Ravens gave Lamar Jackson the non-exclusive franchise tag. And in doing so, they guaranteed Jackson cannot leave the organization this offseason without their approval. Other teams can negotiate. They can offer him a deal as early as Wednesday, but the Ravens would get 5 days to match that offer sheet. Now, if they don't match, the other team has to send them first-round picks in the 2023 and 24 drafts. And for the Ravens, this was an attempt to bring the situation to a head. Jackson would get a second franchise tag next year, but a third tag in 2025 would be cost prohibitive and likely push Jackson into unrestricted free agency, where the Ravens would lose him without getting any compensation in return. On top of that, Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert, and Jalen Hurts are also likely to get massive extensions this offseason, which would only raise Jackson's price tag even further. Baltimore wants to get this deal done before pen touches paper for those three young stars.
Right.
Just about every star quarterback signs a massive contract, but only some of the money is fully guaranteed at signing. The notable exception here, of course, is Deshaun Watson, who initially turned down the Browns as a trade candidate last season before the organization went back to him with what essentially amounted to a blank check. Watson and his camp signed a five-year, $240 million deal that's fully guaranteed from start to finish, something that even Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen did not pull off when they signed their respective extensions. Jackson has a better resume than Watson, with an MVP award and a much better win-loss record. He's missed time with injuries over the past couple years, but Watson has a pair of torn ACLs in his past, a much more significant injury. Watson, of course, also had dozens of sexual assault allegations hanging over his head, while Jackson does not have off-field concerns to our knowledge. If Watson's worth a fully guaranteed deal, Jackson, perhaps rightfully so, believes he deserves an even bigger fully guaranteed deal. Now, in the hours after Jackson was tagged, we saw teams do something very curious that does not happen often with other players. They publicly leaked to reporters that they weren't interested in signing a 26-year-old former MVP. Teams like the Falcons, the Raiders, the Dolphins, the Commanders, and the Panthers all suggested that they were not going to be serious bidders for Jackson, which seemed odd given that they all needed quarterbacks. In some eyes, that amounts to collusion, and there's been plenty of discussion about that possibility regarding Jackson's situation. In others, they might argue that it's just drawing a financial line about what's best for their respective organizations. I do think Jackson will land a significant offer, but it might not be until after the draft, given that the team signing Jackson to an offer sheet would be able to hold on to what their picks are in 2023 and instead send 2024 and 2025 first-round picks to the Ravens if they decline to match.
You know, Bill, it's really remarkable. I mean, it's not just about identifying the players. It's not just about agreeing to the terms, but there's some remarkable timing that goes into when these things happen, right? When you do the deal is almost as important as what the deal is, which I think is pretty fascinating. So far, we've been talking quite a bit about moves that haven't actually happened, right? But let's talk for a minute about some of the things that have, you know, actually taken place. We've seen Derek Carr land in New Orleans. He got to jump the line because the Raiders cut him. And as for the Raiders, you mentioned they've brought in Jimmy Garoppolo on a three-year deal. He's back with his old offensive coordinator, Josh McDaniels. You said at the beginning you used to grade deals with your red pen. What would your red pen say about those deals?
I think the deals themselves are fine, but I think they raise questions about how each of these teams are approaching the offseason. And I'll start with the Raiders because they involve both these quarterbacks. This felt like a way to save some money. This was we have Derek Carr at home, or, oh, we're going to get the Kirkland signature Derek Carr. It's just as good as the regular one. By swapping out Carr for Jimmy Garoppolo. If the Raiders had kept Carr on their roster, they would have had to pay the premium price. They would have had to pay $75 million over the next two seasons. Instead, they cut him, signed Garoppolo. Garoppolo's only going to make $48 million over the next 2 years. Garoppolo is a slightly more efficient quarterback than Carr, or at least was during his time in San Francisco, but he struggled far more often with injuries. So this is basically placing a bet on Garoppolo's health. If he stays in one piece, the Raiders probably win. They'll get similar performance at quarterback, and they'll get to use that extra $27 million to address a porous defense. If he can't stay healthy, well, they're going to miss Derek Carr.
And Garoppolo leaving San Francisco, it kind of signals the end of an era. I mean, I don't know if you followed it, Bill. I have this Portuguese artist, Rita Carvalho, Rita Oak, as she goes by, drawing a picture of Jimmy G every day for the last 400 days until the 49ers finally traded him. And so now she can rest.
Yes.
She can put down her iPad. He is gone. What does it say, Bill, with Jimmy G heading away from the 49ers about what the 49ers are looking to do?
Well, I think in context with their biggest free agent move, it's pretty clear they're going to go cheap at quarterback and try to beat you everywhere else on the football field. This is a team that just went out and signed Javon Hargrave, who was maybe the best defensive player available in free agency, to a four-year, $84 million deal. And this was not a team that frankly needed much help on defense before this point. But, you know, teams are going to be into what they're into. And the Niners want playmakers on offense, and they want to beat the hell out of you up front on defense. They'll make everything else work based off that. So now, by adding Hargrave, they're bringing in a dominant interior disruptor who will be the second piece of the pass rush after Nick Bosa. We just saw that combination of Hargrave on the inside and a great edge rusher on the outside and Hassan Reddick push the Eagles past the Niners and into the Super Bowl. Obviously, San Francisco hoping for similar results. But the reason they're able to do that is because they just cleared out a ton of cap space by moving on from Garoppolo. Their quarterback room right now consists of Trey Lance, Brock Purdy, and new acquisition Sam Darnold. They'll combine to make a little over $9 million next year, and about half of that is Darnold, who might be the third stringer when everybody's healthy. If you're not spending a lot of money on your quarterback, you can put that money to work everywhere else on the roster.
Yeah, it's really interesting about where teams choose to sort of put their focus, Bill. You know, you talked about the 49ers obviously putting that QB room savings to work, and then the Raiders, who saved money, as you mentioned, when they went from Carr to Jimmy G. They're clearly looking to hang on to cash in other ways as well, because they shipped tight end Darren Waller to the Giants for a third round pick. What do you see from that move? What does that tell you about what the Raiders are looking to do and why the Giants would want a player like Waller?
The Raiders seem to be just hoping to get more Patriots-y, is the way I would describe them. They're basically swapping out Waller for former Patriots wide receiver Jacoby Myers, who signed with them earlier on the day on Tuesday. And it's a little curious because it felt like Waller was a bigger part of the Raiders' future. Let's go back a year ago to when the Packers were trading Davante Adams to the Raiders. The Packers reportedly wanted Waller as part of the Davante Adams trade, but the Raiders declined. Instead of sending a first-round pick and Waller, they sent first and second-round picks instead. They then gave Waller a contract extension this past season, but before the extension even started, they dealt him to the Giants for a late third-round pick. So Waller's value dropping precipitously based on what the Raiders did over the past year. Does it make a lot of sense for the Raiders? It makes a lot more sense for the Giants. They need to add pieces around newly expensive quarterback Daniel Jones, who was throwing to journeymen and practice squad guys for most of the 2022 season. Waller has struggled with injuries over the past couple years, and he is 30 years old at a position where it's very tough, unless you're Travis Kelce, to be good after you turn 30. But he's a difference maker at his best. And to get back to our favorite word, he has no guaranteed money on his deal after the season. So for the Giants, a worthwhile risk.
Coming up, two teams looking to break out of the NFL's basement make some moves in free agency.
Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code DAILY. That's code DAILY. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky. 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
All right, Bill, let's move on to a team that's been making news, it seems like, for weeks now, and that's the Bears, right? They trade the number one pick last weekend to the Panthers for a bunch of picks and a wide receiver, DJ Moore. And then the Bears open up free agency with some pricey moves, but on defense. So what does all this say about the plan, the master plan in Chicago?
Well, we're seeing them build a more complete roster, which makes sense given that the Bears are not one player away, but maybe 12 or 13 players away from contention. And I think Ryan Poles, their GM, would tell you that. This is a team that was actively tanking, trading players away last offseason, trying to clear out cap space so they could rebuild this offseason. And we'll start with the trade. Moving down from 1 to 9, netted them a player for right now, a star receiver in DJ Moore, and significant draft capital in 2023 and 2024. This free agency period, they've gone out on a defensive spending spree, signing Tremaine Edmonds to a very large deal for an inside linebacker, adding DeMarcus Walker, adding TJ Edwards, who was a linebacker on the Super Bowl Eagles last year. There's a defense that's being rebuilt here, which makes sense because Matt Eberflus, their head coach, is a defensive-minded head coach. They signed Nate Davis, a guard, to help protect Justin Fields, and I wouldn't be surprised if they use the 9th overall pick, now their top selection after the trade down, to draft another offensive lineman. And all this is not going to solve things. The Bears are not going to be great in 2023. But I believe the plan here is to create a more competitive team to get a complete evaluation of Justin Fields in what's going to be your make or break season. If he plays well, the Bears will pick up his 5th-year option. They might even give him a significant extension worth more than $50 million a year. If not, Poles has suggested the Bears not only have their own first rounder, but the first rounder from the Carolina Panthers in 2024, which would be plenty of ammo to move up and grab Fields' replacement.
And the team that the Bears worked with on that trade was obviously the Carolina Panthers, who essentially shipped away their future, their best remaining player on offense, to jump up into the top overall spot in the draft. They're on the clock right now. What are they going to do with that pick?
I would hope they draft a quarterback. If they don't, they've made some very curious choices or have some very weird opinions about players in the draft. They will draft a quarterback, I can say confidently.
Guaranteed, Bill?
Oh, boy. NFL version of guarantee, right? I can pretend it didn't happen. Not Deshaun Watson guarantees. I don't know who they'll draft with the first overall pick. But what I find interesting is what you alluded to, Sam, about the roster around that quarterback. This is an offense where their primary receiver right now is Terrace Marshall, Laviska Shenault, players who might not make other rosters around the NFL. They have a head coach in Reich who has experience developing quarterbacks, but they don't have any receivers for that quarterback to throw to. I would guarantee they'll draft a quarterback with the first overall pick. I would strongly expect them to add at least one or two receivers between now and the start of the season.
All right, well, this is not a draft day quite yet. We've got some time before we get there. But another team that seems to be kind of showing its hand a little bit through some of the moves they made is the Denver Broncos, right? We all know that they went in on Russell Wilson, a move that I think it's fair to say didn't yield the results.
It's very kind.
So now they've got Sean Payton, and supposedly he's going to be the one that writes the ship, Bill, right? What have they done, and what does it mean for year two of the ride in Denver?
Russell Wilson is giving the reins of the ride to somebody else. I think Sean Payton is taking over, and I think it's very clear how he wants to fix, I suppose, Russell Wilson. Everything they've done so far in free agency suggests that Payton thinks the solution is to run the offense Russell Wilson ran in Seattle, which was a heavy dose of running the football and using Wilson more as a play action and change of pace quarterback. Their first moves in free agency this year were to hand out the second largest deal in the NFL to any right tackle in Mike McGlinchey, formerly of the Niners. They added a significant deal at guard in Ben Powers of the Ravens, and then signed a blocking tight end with the perfect name for an NFL blocking tight end.
Yes.
In Chris Manhertz.
Say it, Bill.
Chris Manhertz is not ever going to turn into, you know, a librarian.
He's not made for administrative work, for sure.
No, Chris Manhertz is not in HR, as it turns out. Chris Manhertz is football player or professional wrestler or bust. But these moves overall, Sam, hint towards the Broncos using more two tight end sets and running the ball more often on early downs in 2023, which should hopefully take some of the pressure off of Wilson's shoulders.
Okay, Bill, so let's finish here with the Chiefs, the champions, right? For all of the reasons that we've been talking about during this episode, there are lots of challenges with winning in the NFL and then keeping that winning team together. As you look at it, have the Chiefs been able to pull that off so far?
Whew. Well, yes, but in a way that I would not recommend other teams try to do, because the Chiefs have their own unique way of addressing their roster concerns, and last year it worked. I mean, the big decision the Chiefs made last year was to trade Tyreek Hill for draft picks, and they bought in bulk to replace him. Instead of getting a premium player, they went out and signed Marquez Valdes-Scantling and Juju Smith-Schuster. They traded for Kadarius Toney, and then they drafted Sky Moore. Hill had a great season. He was phenomenal for the Dolphins, and none of those players individually had a star campaign, but the quartet each played a role during the postseason run to achieve Super Bowl. Left tackle is now the next spot up for redevelopment on the Chiefs roster. And this is something that they had to deal with a couple years ago as well. They moved on from former first overall pick Eric Fisher and made a significant trade to land Orlando Brown from the Ravens. Brown has spent most of his career as a right tackle, but he briefly played the left side for the Ravens before the trade, and he wanted to move there permanently. One of the reasons why? Money. Teams pay more for players who protect the quarterback's blind side. The Chiefs franchise tagged him last year and won a Super Bowl, but decided they were going to move on this offseason. They let him leave and signed Jawan Taylor away from the Jaguars earlier this week. Like Brown, Taylor has been a good right tackle as a pro. But unlike Brown, Taylor has never started an NFL game at left tackle. He only took a handful of snaps at left tackle during his time in college at Florida, which means, Sam, the Chiefs are protecting the blind side of the most valuable player in football with a player who has not played that role since high school.
Not ideal.
Players do move from one side of the line to the other. They change positions, but it's harder than you might think. Your plant leg changes, so you have to adapt your footwork. You might focus your workouts differently. At left tackle, you're less likely to have help than you do on the right side. So Taylor might be on an island more often this year. And he's also going from a quarterback who really focused on getting the ball out quickly in Trevor Lawrence to a guy who likes to improvise and think about things back there in Patrick Mahomes, who holds the ball as long as anybody in football. Now, Andy Reid has earned some benefit of the doubt. He's done this stuff for a while, pretty good at building offenses, and it worked with Hill. But after making one big bet and winning a Super Bowl, the Chiefs are making an even riskier bet this year with the health of their franchise quarterback.
Bill Barnwell, thank you for guiding us through yet another episode of the NFL, this series that truly never ends.
Thank you, Sam. Now I'm going to go to Japan because Aaron Rodgers is a Jet there.
I'm Sam Borden. This has been ESPN Daily. I'll talk to you tomorrow.